Welcome to the Broken Way, Living Cruciform, part two of this series. Have you ever noticed that we live in a society, in a world where we like to discard broken things? I remember growing up as a kid, about 15 or 20 years ago, I remember when something broke, my dad would get it repaired. If a toaster broke, he would take it apart and fix it himself. If the fridge broke, they'd call a repairman. If the stove element broke, he went to the store and he bought another element and he fixed it. We don't seem to live in that day and age anymore. We think of broken as trash. We think of broken as useless. Now, I know, unfortunately, a lot of that has to do with the way things are made. That they're made in such a way so that when they break, it's cheaper and easier to get rid of it and replace it. A few years ago, we had a dryer break at home. I mean, it got really bad. It would go pa-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta as it was trying to spin. And so I called in a repairman because that's what my dad would do. And I called in the repairman, and he looked at it, and he said, it used to squeak, didn't it? And I said, yeah, it used to squeak. He said, and then it stopped squeaking, right? I said, yeah, and everything was great until recently, and it makes this awful noise. And he goes, first off, the squeaking was an easy fix, and it's designed to squeak so that you would call me. But you see, I could be cheap sometimes, and as long as it works, it's fine. So what if it squeaks a little bit? So what I've now learned is around the barrel that turns inside the dryer, it sits on plastic feet to keep it in place, and when it's out of line, it squeaks. And so it squeaks kind of as a warning to get it realigned, and so they would just realign it and change the little plastic things that it spins on. But I let it squeak so long that I let the drum cut right through the plastic feet. And then I let the drum continue to turn metal on metal. And then I got it to the place where the drum cut through the front of the dryer. So the repairman said to me, it's cheaper to buy a new one than to fix this one. What a waste. It just needed a new front panel. But it was cheaper to buy a new one. See, because we live in a society that wants to throw out broken things. Unless you're cheap like me, you just let them squeak. Broken things. Broken places. Broken lives. We need to learn that broken is not garbage. That broken is not trash. We have to start to see broken the way God sees broken. That sometimes God sees the brokenness in our lives to teach us and remind us that there's a God in heaven who cares for us and loves us. There's a time in my life many, many years ago where I was broken, where things had come crashing down in my life, and I actually got angry with God. And I said, God, what gives? I spent my whole life loving you. I spent my whole life serving you. But I was angry with God when my life started to break and things were broken inside of me. And I said, God, you're supposed to be there to protect me. And I kind of had the Holy Spirit say, chapter and verse. And I said, what do you mean? Where do you get the idea that you get preferential treatment to the rest of the world? And I said, I guess I don't. He says, no, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Your brokenness is in no way related to my love for you. So I went through this thing and it hit me, and I found out that I had only two things that I needed to do to handle my brokenness. It's to dig into the Word of God and to spend time in His presence. And it took a while. It wasn't fast. You know, I was looking for a 3-day answer. Okay, God, I'll go with a 3-week answer. Okay, I'll wait for 3 months. But it took years for God to come in and deal with me and deal with the brokenness of my life. And God taught me this, that I don't have it all together. That I am not above the hurts and the pains of this world. And the most important thing he taught me is I have to rely on him every day. Draw your attention to one verse of scripture. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul writes these words. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He starts by saying, I have been crucified with Christ. If you were with us last week, we talked about dead life. And that's really what he's saying here. I have been crucified. I am dead to the sinful life that I had. I have been crucified with Christ. You haven't been crucified physically, but you are crucified spiritually with Christ once you come to acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I have been crucified with Christ. Christ died. And my sinful nature has to die on the cross with Jesus. And this crucifixion with Christ says that our lives count for living for Jesus every day and every moment. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Those are powerful words. I'm going to say them again. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Our life as Christians is lived as if Jesus is living in our body. Our life as everyday Christians who get up, go to work, go to school, pay the bills, make lunches, drive the kids here and there, go to our meetings, go to our activities, go to sports, go to wherever we go. Everything about me and the way I live has to be lived in such a way that Jesus is coming through everything that I am doing. Everything that I am saying, he is in my mind, he is in my actions, he is in my words. Simply put, our lives should reflect the life of Jesus. We should reflect who Jesus really is. See, before we became Christians, before we became followers of Christ, we lived for our sinful nature. We lived for our sinful self. We lived for the things that made us feel good. We lived for the things that only brought us pleasure. We lived as if Jesus didn't matter. But since we have come to know Jesus, since we have given our lives to his life, since we have said to ourselves and to the world around us, I live for Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You see, we can't live for Jesus on our own strength, though. We need to allow Jesus to come into our lives by the power of Holy Spirit and take residence in our heart. See, Jesus does not automatically rule our lives. We must be willing to let Jesus rule our lives. Can't just stand here and say, okay, Jesus, go for it. We need to be willing participants. We need to say, Jesus, I give my will over to your will. That's why Paul goes on to say in this verse, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that we are living has to be lived for God first. God has to be first in our values, first in our thoughts, first in our attitudes, first in our actions, and the toughest one of all, first in the words that we speak. Let's make it a little practical. First in the words that we text and write in social media. this week as you spend time in your small group and as you listen in the sessions, and Ann Voskamp will be teaching you, she's going to ask you this question. Am I willing to allow God to work through my brokenness, to allow it to nourish someone, to make it a feast for someone else? This is the question. And again, the key word in this sentence, this key word in this phrase, is the words, am I willing? Am I willing? Is God willing? Am I willing? Am I willing to allow my broken life to serve somebody else? Am I willing to let myself be poured out so somebody else can benefit from my brokenness? The best example of brokenness I find is from Jesus' own words. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, if you've been in church any amount of time, if you've been to a communion service, any type of church, you've probably heard these words. And as Jesus is sitting at this Passover meal with his disciples, it's the night he's about to be arrested, and he's having a final meal with them. And we're told that Jesus takes the bread. He gives thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is telling his disciples that his body is about to be broken for them. He is about to endure something that they're not anticipating. They're not anticipating a cross. They're not anticipating crucifixion. They're not anticipating his arrest. They're not anticipating his beating. But Jesus is telling them ahead of time, this is my body broken for you. And it's broken for you because in the midst of its brokenness, something good is going to happen. Jesus is willing to sacrifice himself on a cross. And that cross becomes the picture of brokenness for Jesus. On the cross is the brokenness of a perfect Savior. His body was broken. His blood was shed. His will was surrendered. His purpose was fulfilled. This brokenness of the cross is what leads us to real life in Jesus. Jesus died so we could live. So many times we think God doesn't understand. I know that's how I felt in the midst of brokenness. God, you don't understand. Jesus, you don't understand. But I'm reminded of a verse that the writer to the Hebrews writes in Hebrews 4:15. The Message explains it this way. We don't have a priest. That reference to priest is Jesus. But he says, we don't have a priest, or we don't have a Savior who is out of touch with our reality. He has been through weakness and testing, experienced it all, except for sin, all but sin. Jesus has experienced everything you and I experience, except for sin. So in those places where you feel lonely and you think nobody in the world understands your loneliness, Jesus puts up his hand and says, I've been there. In the place where you feel rejected by society or rejected by your friends or rejected by your family, Jesus puts up his hand and says, been there, have the t-shirt. In the places where you feel nobody understands you, Jesus puts his arm around you and says, I get it. In those places where you feel the people have deserted you and walked out on you, Jesus says, it's okay, I've been there. But Jesus goes a step further. He says, not only have I been there, And not only have I experienced what you've experienced, but I've let myself be broken for you so that I am broken just like you are broken. But Jesus says to us that in the place of brokenness is the place of the reality of a living God. Out of the brokenness, life can flow. The brokenness of our lives is an opportunity to let the power of God be our healing. We can let the mercy of God heal our hurts. We can let the love of God transform us into the image of Jesus. We can use the healing in our lives to be an extension of God's healing to others. Let me give you a real life example. I think everyone in this room has heard of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, which basically is just called AA now. And you know what the secret to their success has been? Forget that it was originally founded on Christian principles. Beyond that, you know what their success is? That someone who has battled sobriety and has come through the other side. Now, they'll say they're never there, but you know what I mean. Someone who's battled sobriety and has stayed sober for a long period of time. When somebody new comes into the program, that person with experience wraps their arm around them. And they call them a sponsor. And the new person gets a sponsor. The sponsor who has walked their way and fought their battles and understands the hurts and the pains and the cravings and the desires and the weakness. The sponsor walks with the new person and walks them through it together, constantly being there for them. You know what that is? That's brokenness. Reaching out to brokenness. That's brokenness saying, I am finding healing and I'm going to pass it on to you as well. Live cruciform. So I want you to think of a cross, because cruciform is derived, I'm sure, out of the word crucified. And I see two elements to living cruciform. I want you to picture that vertical beam. The one that stands as the big, major piece of the cross. It's the vertical beam of the cross, and it represents our relationship with God. It points us to God and reaches God down to us. That vertical beam of the cross is the reality that God loves us and sent his Son to die on a cross for our sins. That the love of God brought down to us in the form of Jesus Christ, his Son. It's the grace of God extended to us as forgiveness for our sins. It's the gifts that God reaches down. And so as you see a vertical beam, as you look up and you imagine in the sky, up somewhere in heaven, in the place where God dwells, God reaches down to earth. He reaches down to mankind. He reaches down to me and to you. He says, here is Jesus, who paved the way for your forgiveness. This is my grace extended to you. The vertical beam not only shows us God's love for us, but it tells us that we could reach up to God as well. It's an expression of our ability to say, God, are you there? And God answers us in the cries of our hearts. The vertical beam reminds me that I have access to God, that he is not above and away, but he is close and personal. And the vertical beam of the cross is a picture that God reaches out to me as I reach out to God. You'll notice that God took the first step. God sent his one and only Son. And so if you ever question, God, are you ever there? God, do you ever care? God, how do I know that you're real? Remember these words, I sent my one and only Son. I made the first move. The vertical beam tells us that. the horizontal beam of the cross. It represents for us our relationship with people. Even through our own brokenness, we can give out and serve the broken world around us. The vertical beam reminds us that God has worked in our lives, not so we could have a relationship with God only, but so we could give out of this relationship with God to others. I have here a little picture for you. I want you to imagine this bottle represents your life. The water in it is full to the brim. And you're full with the love and power of God, the gifts of God and the Holy Spirit of God. And God has filled us up. God has filled you up. The problem is, you're so full that you can't get any more. I don't know if you could see that from the back, but it's so full that it just spills over and you can't contain it. But God has a solution. If you want more of God, you've got to give some of God away. And when you give some of God away, God can come by his Spirit and give you some more of God. See, our Christian life wasn't designed to be get God, contain God, get all that you can, keep all that you get. Our Christian life is designed so that whatever God gives us, God could use us to pour it out to others. And as we pour it out to others, God fills us over and over and over again with a fresh pouring of his Spirit. See, the more real we can be about our brokenness, we will allow people to see Jesus in our lives. You know, sometimes we just put our masks on. We put our masks on. No, we don't. Yeah, we do. We all do. When somebody says to you, how you doing? You always say, I'm fine. How many times are you not fine and you still say fine? Because it's just become a greeting in passing. It's like hi. And being good Canadians, you know, we don't just say hi. We want to know how you're doing, but we don't want to know. But that's the problem. Because sometimes it helps to tell the right person, I'm not good. I've had an awful week. I had an awful day. Sometimes we do that in church. We put our masks on and we pretend everything's fine. And so when somebody comes in who's not fine and is willing to say they're not fine, they can't find anybody who could understand them because we've all got the fine mask on. We're being asked to live cruciform. To not just have a relationship with God, but to be in relationship with one another. We're being asked not to be perfect. We're being asked to say we are all broken in one way or another. If you're not broken today, you may have been broken in the past. And if you've never been broken before, you probably will be broken somewhere in the future. But the beauty of a relationship with God on that vertical beam, the beauty is that in our brokenness, God comes to us. In our brokenness, God brings healing to us. And in our brokenness, the Holy Spirit says, I have healed you so you can walk alongside somebody else who is broken. And the love of God can be poured out to them. Broken is not garbage. Broken is fixed by the power of God. The broken way is about living for Jesus in and especially through our brokenness. Living cruciform happens when we identify with Christ and learn to reach out to others in our brokenness. We will be able to share the love and power of a living Jesus with them. It's time that we live cruciform. It's time that we understand that somewhere in all of our lives, there's a broken place. Somewhere in every one of our lives is that difficult place. But in the brokenness is God. In the midst of your hard time is God. It's time that we stop allowing brokenness to keep us down. It's time that we stop wallowing in the pain of brokenness and we start letting the life of Jesus shine through our cracks. It's time to use our brokenness to bless the lives of others who are broken. See, when we do that, we open the door to God's healing. On the cross, Jesus was broken and died. At the cross, life was released. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads with me for a moment? And just before I begin to bring us to a close, I just want to pause. I want to ask if there's anyone in this room who doesn't understand that Jesus loves you. If there's anyone here who would say, I've never accepted the forgiveness of Jesus. I didn't understand that he died on a cross for me. He died to forgive me of my sin. I didn't even see myself as sinful. If that's you today and you're here and you say, Pastor, I want to have relationship with God. I want to be forgiven of my sin. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to hold your hand up high and look at me so I could see you. So now I ask you, are you willing to live cruciform? Are you willing to live as Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, yet I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Are you willing to live cruciform? Are you willing to live understanding that even in the midst of a broken life, there is a healing God? That even in the midst of the brokenness that maybe you have walked through somewhere in the past, that God wants to pour out your life to help somebody else through their brokenness. That God is able to use your brokenness so that you could be a blessing for others. How many of you would say, Pastor, I'm willing to live cruciform. I am willing to let the life of Christ live out of me. If that's you, would you just stand and raise both your hands to heaven this morning?